Thank you so much for your introduction. Welcome to all of you. It's our pleasure to welcome you for our first annual report and sustainability report analyst call for 2017 after our IPO last year summer. I recommend that we walk you through our presentation, which was published this morning next to our press release and our annual report and sustainability report on our website. To first give you, together with our CFO, Lutz Schaape, and myself, an overview of our business highlights or the key takeaways for the last year. After presenting the guidance, we would be very happy to go in a discussion with you based on your questions concerning our report. Let me first guide you through. I would like to start with page number three, where we just summed up the financial and operating highlights of the last year. We're very happy that our strong group sales increased by 31% up to 325 million euro turnover, which, by the way, system sales almost equals half a billion euros turnover worldwide. Our like-for-like sales growth in all segments, which we already announced in our first statement early that year, led us to a growth on a like-for-like basis of 4.8% at the upper end of our guidance that was in the beginning of the year 3%-5%, and which we narrowed in our last call to 4%-5%. The adjusted EBITDA reached 38.8 million euros, which is an increase of 35.8%. We can confirm our over-proportionate increase in terms of EBITDA versus the turnover increase for the group. We are very happy that all segments, meaning our segment Germany, our segment Rest of Europe, as well as our segment Rest of World, contributed to the EBITDA growth of 35.8%. At the same time, as you know, we invested in the last year heavily to feed our growth in terms of POS. We can report an increase of CapEx to 78.5 million euros versus 51.5 million euros, and Lutz will later on break that down. The significant number of this CapEx increase went directly into our openings of the last year. At the same time, we could increase our equity ratio that rose to 37.4%. We opened 27 restaurants in the fiscal year 2017. I just want to briefly remind you that three of the restaurants will open in this year that we could not open to reach the upper end. That was Miami, Doha, and Tottenham Court in London. We totaled with 205 restaurants at the end of the year 2017, and we can also confirm a successful market entry into two new markets in the core European segment, which was the market entry in Spain, in Barcelona, and the market entry in Denmark, in Copenhagen, with in total three openings, two in Denmark, one in Spain. Our takeaway rollout is ahead of plan or was ahead of plan in the last year. We opened already 76 takeaways, 37% of our restaurants in the overall network are now running with this additional takeaway and home delivery segment. Out of those 37%, the majority opened in the German segment. We will go through that in detail. Lutz and me and the whole management team confirmed that we delivered what we promised for the full year 2017. The guidance was fulfilled completely. 27 openings, net sales of 325 million euros turnover, like-for-like in the upper end of the guidance, and the adjusted EBITDA in the middle of the guidance, reaching 38.8 million euros turnover. Can I just briefly sum up our business highlights of the last year? If you jump over to page six, we could increase, as I just said, the adjusted EBITDA, but let me point out out that we increased the adjusted EBITDA margin from 11.5% to 11.9%. Later on in the presentation, you will also see that we had a strong increase in the restaurant contribution from 14.4% to 16.1%. And I just want to highlight very positively here the recovery of our German market that was still impacted in the last year 16 and in the year 15 due to a PR hiccup. The overhead structure here in the head office has been fully installed now to secure the future rollout that is in our plan to reach the 330 by the year 2020. The openings in detail you see, and we report them in the last calls, you see them on page 7. Last year the opening pipeline was pretty much backloaded, as we discussed in our last call, so 48% of the overall openings of the year 27 took place in the last quarter, in the Q4. In total, we promised a majority of our openings in the heart of Europe, rest of Europe, which we delivered, because 17 out of those 27 openings took place in rest of Europe, so core European markets, 4 in Germany, and 6 openings in rest of world. If you just jump briefly on page 8, you will also see that now, step by step, the percentage of our network is shifting over to core Europe, whereas the German network, for the first time in many, many years, is now percentage-wise below 40%. We had a slight overweight in the last year in the corporate and joint venture openings, but that was actually planned due to the opening pipeline, and you will see in this coming year that we will also open up stronger in the franchise business as well. The impact of our innovations and initiatives to reach the like-for-like growth on one hand, but on the other hand also our EBITDA guidance, was primarily based on the implementation of our takeaway and home delivery business on one hand, on the other hand as well on the operational excellency, as we call it, OPEX system, which you will see in a couple of minutes based on the status of the rollout. I also speak briefly about new formats, our terminal ordering status, as well as the People app. We just want to remind you that in our business case, the innovation takeaway and the operational excellency is reflected. We just briefly spoke about it. 76 Rapianos are running now with takeaways in 10 countries. You see that the split is strongly based on DACH, which is means 36 in Germany and 4, sums up to 40 in the DACH region. We can confirm what we discussed in our last meetings, that the additional full year net sales is reaching the 350K per anno, and that the average EBITDA margin is stable with 25%. Maybe just one addition to that overview here, the full year like-for-like takeaways, which were 7 in the last year, still keep on growing strongly, and they delivered 17.8% like-for-like in the last year. The outlook briefly for 2018, as you can see here on page 10 as well, is that we will confirm the ratio that we're aiming to reach this year, meaning including new openings, 75 to 85% of all restaurants should have this option of growth and this option of attractiveness in towards the guest journey. Your website, as you can see on page 11, in the meantime delivers €1.4 million in the last year and will continue to grow in the markets where it is online already, and we will also implement in this year the online ordering tool in UK, Sweden, and the Netherlands. The second big initiative that drives our business in terms of EBITDA is the OPEX rollout, which is now fully executed, certified also with a second round in 80 restaurants. out of 120 all restaurants, joint venture and corporate. So we could increase that by 248%, and you see that the productivity development still is stable and pretty much in line with what we discussed during IPO and also in our following quarterly meetings. Implementation of the trainer concept is fully set up, and also for new openings, and I think this is pretty important as well to secure a good ramp up. It is already implemented from day zero. Let me just briefly point out that right now we're also in the rollout of the personal planning system, not only in the counting of people and evaluating of people, but also in the planning recommendations right now in the German market. Our new restaurant formats are doing well. Our first freestander in Fürth is pretty well on track, delivered more than 3.6 million euros turnover this year. The second opening will take place in Toulouse on the 28th of June. And in Q2, in May, we will also open the next Little Babies, which you can see on the second page. The opening in Chicago will take place between the 14th and 20th of May on Union Station in the heart of the city. The first pilot of the Mini, we can confirm, delivered in the last year, the 2.2 million euros turnover, and it delivered, and I think this is really promising, a much faster ramp up in terms of EBITDA than the existing Big Babies. You know that in the first year, normally we deliver 6% EBITDA in our ramp up, and we could deliver here already 14% EBITDA, including the ramp up phase. The second pilot, which you see here in the picture in Shopping City Süd, is also well on track. If you keep in mind, we have just one selling day less there because Sunday is closed, so we are pretty confident that also the second pilot will deliver the results we expect, and further evidence will come with the next opening in Chicago. Based on that, we also sent out about 8 days ago a press release on our franchise partnership, which it will be in the pilot phase, which we just signed with the biggest airport travel hub operator of the world, which is HMS Host. And based on the concept of Vienna, which was pretty well evaluated by HMS Host, we are planning to establish the first pilots to understand if the potential for Vapiano with the Little Baby is also there in the travel hubs, which will not only bring us asset-light turnover and therefore EBITDA, but also a bigger expansion potential as well as a huge brand awareness on those highly trafficked places. The auto terminals, we're running in the meantime 30 auto terminals in different countries, actually in 4 countries. And also here we can confirm, as you saw also in our annual report, a stable development in terms of acceptance on a qualitative basis, but more important also on an economic basis. So we have an increase of 13% per ticket when our guests order on the terminal. The app is for the first time in a pilot now working with as a full order app, and I just want to remind you that the app is highly successful as an order to, as a payment tool, so a cash-free or credit card-free payment tool, and is rolled out in several European countries. Now in Berlin, right now we're testing with very positive results the full ordering of the menu, so our guests can order also the main dishes and get them delivered to the table. At the same time, there are human order points, by the way, in this test restaurant and an open kitchen like we tested in the Little Mappiano. And we can also confirm that the average ticket value here is 20% higher than in the classic version. Menu innovations, just very briefly, we just implemented recently the carb-reduced alternative to our highly successful pasta by getting now the zoodles as a zucchini and carb-free or carb-reduced alternative to the pasta. Very important, I just want to briefly point it out before we jump in detail into the figures, for our successful rollout is to create a winning team that is really able to make the rollout successful. If you look back on year 17, we increased, and we are proud of that, the number of our employees by 16% to 6,400 Mappianos in our corporate and JV restaurant. More important to that is the training. I just want to give you a little bit of sniff and feel on what we call our boot camp, meaning building up our future management people and our management team from the base. So we're happy that we have the first, the best trainee in Germany coming from Mappiano. You see a few pictures on concepts like CEO for a week or the Mappiano Talent Days. So we're pretty confident that also for our growth, we have not only the right pipeline of restaurants or locations, but also the right pipeline of people. So let me, after the brief overview, hand over to Lutz, who will go in detail in the discussion of our last year figures.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Also, hello from my side. As you can move on to page 23 of the deck, you see our top-line development for the year 2017. We presented that already in January, and we can confirm the numbers now fully audited. And the growth of the group was around 31% to 324.7 million. All segments positively contributed on the like-for-like growth. The numbers have been communicated before, with overall growth on a like-for-like basis of 4.8% for the group. Special highlight, of course, to the German market, which recovered from the 2016 situation with a positive like-for-like of 4.6%, continuing over the year, even in the Q4. And in addition, rest of Europe, the fifth year in row, a positive like-for-like development with 5%. And I think we have discussed it already in the January discussions. Moving on now to the financials on page 24, you see that we could convert our top-line growth of around 31%, also in a very positive EBITDA growth with a growth of over proportion 36%, and a margin improvement of 11.5 to 11.9, all in line with our program, which we have announced to increase until 2020 the margin of our restaurants by 300 basis points from 70 to 20%. And we are here also well on track, as you see on page on the left bottom. We improved the restaurant contribution from 14.4 to 16.1% for the financial year 2017. Just a few words regarding the system. We knocked on really the 500 million. We missed it by a few few numbers only, but we can confirm that 8.1 sales growth of the system also contributes to the overall development of the group. If we move on to page 25 of the deck, you see that we announce here the contribution margins of the different segments, and I think I would like to highlight here again a strong improvement on the like-for-like margin for our German business from 14.3% to 17.1% on a like-for-like basis. You see that on the top left of the deck, and which contributes, of course, into a positive margin development overall for the segment Germany, which increased to overall, including franchise, to 15.4%. Also, Europe is very stable. Like-for-like margin is more or less on the same level, but a strong EBITDA improvement from 16.9 to 29.3 million EBITDA for the segment Europe, which therefore now on the restaurant level is more important than German market, so has overtaken the German market as the most important market in our segment. The reduction in franchise, again, as communicated before to you several times, is only due to the fact that the Swedish and the French market had been franchise business in the year 16 until end of August almost, and therefore the reduction is in line with that acquisition. The rest of the world, we see a stable development on a break-even level on the restaurant business, while the franchise business is improving, which overall could also increase the contribution from the EBITDA segment for rest of the world to 1.6 million. So overall, we are satisfied with all three segments, and we made progress, so we are happy to announce that numbers today. If we move on to the reconciliation on page 26, you see here very detailed what we have adjusted in regards to our operating results or operating EBITDA. Of course, we have adjusted for the cost for IPO, which came finally to 5.8 million in line what we have announced already for Q3. We had a one-time cost, especially to prior year, but also to some one-time expenses for projects of around 6.9 million and currency losses of 3. In a more detailed way, we also disclosed here the pre-opening costs, which came slightly higher than expected, especially for the new restaurant openings. We had an average of around 200K per restaurant. We guided around 150. Due to the fact that we had to roll out a lot of restaurants within the last quarter, 2017, came slightly higher here, and we committed ourselves to come back to the level of 150,000 for restaurant pre-opening costs going way forward. Therefore, we just see that as a one-time situation for the financial year 17, where the growth really increased dramatically. We also gave detailed breakdown of the opening costs for takeaway, for our country opening in Denmark, and for other openings in the franchise segments. If you move on, you see on page 27 a very positive development on the like-for-like margin. We improved from 15 to 17% for the group. To reconsider again, our overall target for 2020 is 20%, and we are well on track. And the margin increase especially contributed for the segment in Germany, which moved up from 14 to 17%. For Europe, you should consider that our two most profitable restaurants, being Marseille 2 and London 1, were not part of the like-for-like cohort in 17 as they have been remodeled, and therefore the margin is only flat on that level. Also, progress in CapEx were made. We are now down to 2.2 million in average CapEx per unit, in line with our expectation to reduce spend per unit. And as we mentioned before, our target for 2020 latest is around 2 million at CapEx per unit. Openings, we gave some guidance for your models as well, how to plan openings going forward. On the way to 2020, we still plan 125 units to come to our 330 units, as discussed before. On page 28, we have given you in details on the equity situation, which significantly improved due to the IPO we did last year with net proceeds of 75 million. And you see that the equity margin now moved up by 45% to 37.4. So we made good progress on this, and we have therefore a quite healthy situation for the future growth of the company. Net debt of the company on page 29 of the deck ended with 160 million, slightly above our expectations. Huge capex spending, especially in Q4, also late with a slightly lower EBITDA contribution due to the timing, came to that number, but overall we are still in line with our expectations. We are now at a leverage of 3.0 for year end, but we keep our midterm guidance of 2 times so adjusted EBITDA for the financial year 18-19 going forward. You see that massive capex program we put into place on the right side of the presentation, being 78.5 million for the financial year 2017. And we are happy to announce for the first time the breakdown for the different spending. You see that we spend 42.8 million euro for new restaurants, 12.8 million euro for remodeling, 5 million into takeaway, and around 5 million for additional investments in M&A, which is the acquisition of our Austrian business in Innsbruck, as well as the latest payment for our Swedish acquisition. We also had IT capex of around 3.6 million, and therefore this gives you a much more detailed breakdown also for your models to go forward and to plan it on a better way. With this, I would like to hand over to Jochen again, who gives some update on the guidance for 2018.
Thank you so much, Lutz. I just want to confirm and say a few words more in detail to the guidance we released this morning. So in terms of restaurant openings, we confirm our range of 33 to 38 openings, meaning we confirm the guidance of 30 to 35 openings for the year 2018 plus the three leftovers, let me call it like this, from the last year. And we can also confirm what we said in our last call, that the proportion into the queues will be much more positive this year than last year. I just said that last year we had 50% of our openings in Q4. This year we will have 30% in Q2, 30% in Q3, and 30% in Q4. That's, by the way, also an important factor, as Lutz mentioned, to secure an on-budget pre-opening costs, because in the last year we had to really put a lot of additional resources to secure the openings in Q4. The group net sales will reach 390 to 420 million euros turnover. On a like-for-like basis, we guide conservatively 1 to 3%. And on an adjusted EBITDA, we guide 48 to 54 million euros turnover, which will bring us on a relative proportion to 12.3 in the lower end, up to 12.9% in the upper end, in terms of our profitability. So if you break that down then into the restaurant contribution, that supports very, very clearly the increase of 100 basis points year by year until 2020 from 17 to 20% from our restaurants. We also confirm, as I just said, the openings. You see here on page 32 the openings for this year 2018. The red spots are our own equity stores. The green ones are our franchise openings, including, let's say, the fulfillment of development agreements of our partners. HMS Host is not in here yet, since we cannot disclose the first pilot with HMS Host right now. And you see that the majority is really going into the core of Europe. And we can also confirm that the majority of the core of Europe is going into openings in the French market, which is the most profitable for us. We're only this year opening 10 / plus one or two in addition in the core European French business of La Piano. Let me briefly confirm then on page 33 what I just said. We're very confident with the growth of our profitability in the restaurants, as we just said, from 15 to 17 in the last year, and we're very, very confident that also this year we can add another basis point, 100 basis points, meaning 1 percentage point in terms of the profitability, by leveraging the takeaway and delivery options as well as the operational excellency options. Having said that, with briefly talking about the guidance, we would be very happy to open the discussion, and we would be very happy to answer all your questions concerning 17 and the guidance for the year 18.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. We've received the first question. It comes from Nicolas Maurer of Kepler Chevreux. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. As I'm kicking this off, I naturally have a lot of questions. It's 9 in total. Please tell me if you want to take some of them offline because it's too many. So the first one here, that's a more general one. Can you provide any word on the potential of the initiatives not reflected in the business plan yet? You will most likely want to talk about the Travel Vapianos recently announced with HMS Host. That's the first one. Second one, are there any termination clauses in the HMS Host contracts after the pilot phase, and does it have a global reach? Second question. Third one, why are you so hesitant on the rollout of the order terminals if it proves to be that successful? The number four would be, The one-off adjustments that you booked in Q4, I think they are about 5 million, which made you reach your adjusted EBITDA guidance. Have you known about them at the time of the guidance given at the end of Q3 or at the beginning of Q2 even? The next one, just on the clarification, the 6 million EBITDA adjustments you're guiding for in 2018, do they relate only to the restaurant openings or is there anything else in there? Maybe shorten a bit here, a few questions. How many refurbishments were there in 2017 on which you've spent the 12.8 million euros? And can you provide us, please, with a CapEx guidance on 2018 and confirm that you won't need a capital increase until 2020? That's seven. I think it's enough already. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicholas, for the questions. I think we're going to split it a little bit between Lutz and me. Let me just start with the first question concerning HMS. I think we're cautious in announcing any potential right now since we are piloting. And as you know, with Vapiano, we are always very happy if we can roll out things as soon as they have been proven fully successful, as we showed with the takeaway and home delivery, where we have really a proven rollout model, and then we are faster even than maybe the capital markets expected. With HMS, I'm a little bit afraid. I'm not able to give you an overall global potential right now. As you saw in the press release, we have defined a couple of countries for the first five pilots. And of course, we made an internal evaluation of the potential for each country. Because if we start a pilot, the goal, of course, is to roll it out later and not end up with an unsuccessful model. So forgive me if we take a little bit of time until we get the first results, and then we can, together with HMS, talk about the full potential we see after evaluating the test. In terms of termination clause, I'm not able to disclose the content of our LOI, but let me put it that way. We define together a pilot, we define together KPIs, which we are all happy with, or defined KPIs, and if those KPIs are rolled out, then we can or will roll out the business going forward. But overall, again, it's a potential which we will quantify and qualify as soon as we have the right pilot results, where Autogrill and Vapiano are together happy with. But we're investing in this together. We're investing in developing together additional products. We are investing together to make the final adaptations based on the Vienna model. So you can see there's quite a seriousness behind this joint pilot phase. In terms of terminals, we have two things. That's why we have now 30. That means after 2017, we also installed terminals in a couple of more restaurants in the meantime, like in Berlin, a new opening which we just did, like in existing restaurants as well. We are still testing two options before we finally roll out. First of all, we are testing if we do the full payment on the terminal or rather keep it with the RFID card so that our guests can have a second extra without leaving the restaurant or doing a second payment. I think that we need more database. That's why we enlarge the pilot. And based on the final pilot figures, either we do option A or B, we will take a decision within the next couple of months to really roll it out stronger. But I can tell you so far from either qualitative-wise as well as quantitative-wise, the results are pretty strong, and we are pretty confident that the terminal will be part after the final successful piloting of our general model. In terms of the one of the adjustments, that was your question number four. I would briefly like to hand over to Lutz.
So I had noted down four additional questions from the financial side. So first off, the one, of course, you asked for, we are two, which we need to discuss. One is the pre-opening cost, and one in the one-time expenses. In regards to the one-off costs, some of them one-time expenses, one-off costs, some of them came during the audit process, but other ones were planned, as you asked for the last quarter, especially on the new projects. The bad debt allowance, of course, or the one-time accrual was a part, which is 0.8 and 1.1 million. You will see that on page 26, came during the audit process. In regards to the pre-opening costs, as I stated before, Nicolas, is that they came slightly higher than expected due to the high number of rollouts. We totally had 15 rollouts, including that one in the end of 2000, in the end of Q3, and that came to the fact that we had to train more people externally, as we could take more people from the existing units and shift them over. That's the main reason for that. Does this answer your questions, or do you have any follow-ups on that?
On that, I think that one is quite important to understand also for the broader market. The one-off expenses that you booked in Q4 that came up in the audit process, I know that that reported EBITDA would have been higher without them and you wouldn't have needed the adjustment to reach your guidance, but this way it seems like some sort of a financial engineering here. Can you confirm that this is not the case?
Yeah, I can confirm that this is not the case, and that there really were in tough discussions. I think we had the bad debt allowance. We looked really into our franchise overdues and made additional adjustments to be on the conservative side in regards to accounting procedures, and the same for the one-time accruals, which we increased to 1.1 million, which were also the case also in the financial year 16 already, and we have now a level reached where we see more comfort for the way forward in regards to our cutoff procedures. They were also part of the special audit methods for PwC. If you look into the report, and I make reference to the Prüfungsvermerk, there you will see the details that we have discussed with the auditors. So it's not a financial engineering.
Okay, thank you.
Second question was regarding the restaurant openings in 18 and the 6 million additional costs, which you see between reported and adjusted EBITDA. We have made special efforts now due to the findings we had in the financial year 17. Nicolas, also to be more precise, between reported and adjusted EBITDA, majority of that 6 million will be leading to the pre-opening costs. As we said, we still guide 150,000 per opening on the corporate and joint venture level. There are some costs also included for potential loss of sale of assets in regards to the remodeling we are planning in 2018, as well as potential other costs for M&A transactions as the budget. So that's how we came up to that 6 million between reported and adjusted EBITDA.
May I jump in and briefly on your next question, which was about the refurbishments. In total, Nicholas, we refurbished 15 restaurants, but refurbishing doesn't mean you do the full restaurant always. So sometimes it's smaller refurbishments like positioning of the kitchen or an exchange of segments that are worked off. We had three really big refurbishments last year. That was New York City. That was from scratch. That was Stockholm, where we also test this updated guest journey with the terminals, with the open order kitchen, with the open kitchen, with human order points. And there was our restaurant in UK, the biggest one we had in UK and one of the biggest one we have globally, which is Great Portland Street in London. So those all together, they sum up to approximately 6 to 6.5 million euros. And the other 13 remodelings were light or small remodelings that they delivered a delta to the full amount of remodeling capex. And coming from that, if that answers your question, Nicholas, I hand over briefly to Lutz, who will give you an overview of the capex structure for 2018. I think that was question number seven.
For 2018, we stay with our guidance between 70 and 75 million in additional capex. Majority of that will be in the new stores. The remodeling capex we are planning for 2018 is minor, up to maximum 5 million including that number. And then regarding the financing situation, which you have asked before, you asked whether we can confirm that there will be no capital increase until 2020. That is absolutely in line with our cash flow planning. We have still a significant credit line with our banks, which we can draw on. In addition, we expect that operating cash flow will improve during financial year 2018. Last year, we had a lot of costs, which we had to pay in regards to the project IPO, which will disappear from now on. And we also have a very close look into managing cash flow on the returns of the restaurants, which we have built up during financial year 2017.
Okay, that answers all of my questions. Thank you very much for the comprehensive answers.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. The next question is from James Roland Clark, Barclays. The lines are open.
Hi there. I have a few questions, please. The first one is, would you mind just highlighting your trading performance in terms of like-for-likes year-to-date across the regions? Secondly, in terms of like-for-like margin progression, obviously Germany has done well, going from 14.3% to 17.1%. Would you mind splitting out this margin progression in terms of the operational leverage, given you're coming from depressed levels in 2016, given the food hygiene scare, splitting that between also operational initiatives, takeaway delivery add-ons, the app and ordering terminals? And then also on margins, you're going to 100 bps improvement year on year. Would you also mind splitting that, if you can, between your initiatives, the delivery, takeaway add-ons, the app, ordering terminals? Thank you.
Okay. So first of all, if I get you right, James, the trading like-for-like in regions in the last year, we ended up in Germany with a like-for-like increase of 4.6%, as we just showed in the overview, 5%.
Sorry,
the rest of Europe. Yeah?
Sorry, that is year-to-date, please. From the 1st of January.
Actually, please understand that we don't give a guidance now on the actual running business. That will be guided, I guess, in 4 weeks from today in our next call. So we're not, you know, commenting right now on the actual trading. I think that would be more than opportune to do that, as it is usual, in the next call for Q1, which is only 4 weeks ago ahead of us. The second question in terms of the margin improvement
for Germany, yeah,
will be handed over to Lutz, yeah, and describe by Lutz.
I think in margin improvement in Germany from 14 to 17%, we had two areas. First of all, we had a positive like-for-like development, which is the 4.8%, 4.6%, which we announced. Of course, that contributes, as you said, normally to 50% to bottom line. In addition, we could see positive impacts from the 8 to 9% productivity improvement in Germany and the reduced labor cost ratio due to that fact, which also gave us positive impacts on the margin in Germany. If you want to split that in percentages, I would say that the margin improvement in Germany around 150 of being 3%, around 100 to 120 basis points coming from labor, and around 150 basis points coming from the like-for-like development.
The impact of the last initiative terminals, since it is relatively small, we roll out yet, is relatively overseeable in the total picture of the German development of the margin. But the productivity gains, as Lutz has said, 50% of productivity gains are normally in a flow through into the EBITDA in terms of labor cost reductions. And for the turnover increase that we have, you can also go from 50, we talk about 50%. The other 50% in the productivity increase, we really put in better service. And that's what we also said all the time during last year, that we will not take the full productivity as a cost reduction model, but productivity also means to deliver better service, meaning smaller, the right people at the right time. You know, we measure productivity in guests per labor hour, so that means having in the right people at the right time in the right place, and reduce waiting times and increase the satisfaction of our guests. Is that giving you an overview to your questions? And I think you can understand that the actual year we guide them in 4 weeks from today.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And just in terms of your guidance, year on year of 100 bits improvement for EBITDA contribution margins, how do the different factors weigh up into that number?
Yeah. If you move to page 33 of the deck, we have shown the mathematics. I think, as you know, at the additional takeaway turnover or openings will contribute to €350,000 at an average EBITDA margin of 25%, and you see that we want to extend it to 75% of the net. This year being at 36% in end of last year. In regards to operational excellence, we will not see such a strong improvement in the second wave, but as this is a continuing project, we are planning to have 3 to 5% improvement on a yearly basis in regards to productivity depending on the markets, which also will contribute in addition to that. In regards to the terminal and the Vapiano people app, we have not given a guidance yet, and as this project are still in process of being piloting, we also wouldn't give a number now, but you can assume that this average increase in spends per guest, both projects will contribute positively to the EBITDA margin as well, especially for the years 19-20 going forward.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome, James. Thanks, Jane.
We have the next question. It comes from Rebecca Lane of Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, Johan. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I've got a couple of questions, if that's okay. The first is on takeaway. Obviously, as you said, the take up has been better than you expected, and also is margin accretive. I just wondered whether you continue to see very little or no cannibalization in general to the underlying business. I know you guys did a study when you first started it, and it showed that. I just wondered whether that was the case now still. And my second question was on France. Obviously, again, your growth model, especially kind of this year, is being kind of geared towards, again, France is a kind of superior margin region. I just wanted an update on what you're seeing there in terms of kind of consumer demand and obviously kind of pricing power.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much, Rebecca. First of all, to the takeaway question, we still can confirm a very stable ratio between cannibalization and add-on turnover. So the average cannibalization to the brick and mortars is around 5%. But net, including the turnovers we deliver with the takeaway, we can confirm the 350K stable as a full year turnover. And I'm, as I said very briefly in the beginning, also the takeaways that we opened already in 2016, which had a full year in 2017, they increased the like-for-like by 17.8%, and we could not see at the same time a higher increase of the cannibalization of 5%. So meaning the cannibalization stays stable, the takeaway and home delivery business seems to be, even for the full year restaurant that are now going in year two, seem to be an incremental dynamic in that market that delivers incremental turnover to our restaurants. We will definitely have a much, much stronger picture end of this year when the number of takeaways that are installed are having, where we have a broader base of like-for-like takeaways. But if I look on the ones that are having a full year, there's also no indication that there's a difference between smaller cities, suburbs of big cities, or if you're in the heart of the city. So it seems to be, as I just said, 5% plus net to 350. The second question to France, we see a very positive increase in the consumer spending and the consumer overall attitude. we still see that we have potential to leverage our price power, put it that way, meaning there's still potential to increase the selling prices, but they are not as strong as they are, for instance, in a few other markets in Europe right now. So meaning we see that still there's potential to increase prices, which we're not doing right now, to 3 to 4% average. And the demand of the French consumer is growing. There's an overall very positive attitude in the market. There's a very positive, call it Macron momentum, a slightly decreasing unemployment rate. And still, Rebecca, that's very favorable for us. A very, let's say, undeveloped fast casual market in France. That's why Five Guys and Vapiano are really happy to grow the business. And at the same time, and I think that's very important for us as well, we have a very, very strong management. So in the end, this lot depends also to be successful on your operations. And we see also that our operational strength there will also stay very strong, even with increasing the number of restaurants. So we don't see a, let's say, a dilution of the performance of the existing restaurants while opening strongly new restaurants. The organization was built up with strong HR, with additional operations managers, with much more detailed finance and marketing support. So we're very confident about the French development, Rebecca.
Great, thank you. Could you just elaborate a little bit more on the, as you said, the kind of the price increases across Europe, and maybe specifically UK as well brought into that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the UK market, which for the time being is the most, let's say, competitive, and at the same time the most challenging market. As you know, there's a lot of restaurant businesses decreasing the number of operations there. We're going vice versa. We're opening only three this year in Tottenham, Glasgow, London Tower Bridge as well. Canary Wharf, by the way, James, we're very close to your head office pretty soon. So a chance for private market research daily. We will improve or increase the prices in the British market by 3.8% this year. And we, from the market research that you do, I think you're familiar with the price market research we do, we are confirmed that we are able to increase the prices by 3.8%. And we're not using the full range of potential that we could have there. The full range of potential would be around 4.4%. And it's also especially in the beverage, it's much more focused on the beverage prices in this round than on the core menu prices.
Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no further questions, I would hand back to you.
Okay, so if there's no further questions, I would like to thank all of the participants very much in the name of the company, in the name of Lutz, for your questions, for following our business development. We are very happy to also go for deep dives on a one-on-one basis going forward with all of you. We will go by tomorrow on roadshows in London to board on our investors on the actual development. And we're very happy to speak to you within 4 weeks to report the results of the Q1 and the development of the Q1 business. So thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you so much for your questions. And if there's anything coming up after that call, Lutz, me and Andrea Rolbring are more than happy to directly go on a one-on-one. Have a great rest of the week and a great day. Thank you so much.